Hey everyone, this is episode 231, and I'm going to keep this short and simple. I'm only going to tell you a couple things. One, this episode was me and Bombcast Jay talking a lot of pop culture stuff, so you'll enjoy that, I hope. And chances are, if you're listening to us, you enjoy it, or you just do it out of pity, and we don't really care. We'll take both. The next thing I'm going to tell you is no episode next week. I will be in San Diego. The plan was to get two recorded this week. It just didn't work out that way. So it's okay to take a summer day off. I mean, we're all entitled to a vacation. But the good news is, when we come back, hopefully I will have had a lot of San Diego beers or something really funny would have happened, fingers crossed, that we can talk about. Otherwise, we'll just have a normal episode a week from, well, I guess 2 weeks from when you're listening to this. So sit back, relax, listen to us go all over the place talking about Marvel, talking about TV, talking about movies, talking about everything we're talking about, and then, yeah, enjoy it. Here it comes, right after the bomb. Thanks. Inglewood, always up to no good, according to Tupac Shakur. Yeah. Is that who said that? Inglewood, always up to no good. Was that in, I think that was in California Love.
Yeah,
I believe so. Are we ready?
I think so.
We are back. It's very quiet, very auspicious that there's only two voices, since we've been loading up all the hosts for the last few weeks, for the last few episodes.
All the hosts that come.
Yeah, all the hosts that'll be here. Minus the Silver Badger, and we were in. Well, let me digress a bit. It's just me and Bombcast Jay today, so say hi.
Hey guys.
And we do not have a Bender because he is on vacation in South Padre Island.
Day drinking.
We do not have a Hummel because he is out of town for work, and we do not have a Flop because, as I learned today, she has been very irritated at the amount of quote unquote nerd talk, and that she doesn't have anything to say. Now I told her we would start a conversation today, which is where we're going to start, with a movie that we watched a couple weeks ago, and I meant to bring it up in the last episode. And she goes, is that going to last the whole episode? I said, no, but we're willing to let you dictate where we go. And she goes, well, I don't want to do that. I just don't want to talk nerd stuff. So on one hand, she don't want to talk nerd stuff. On another hand, she don't want to bring anything to the conversation.
Yeah. I just see it. She doesn't want to hang out with me, so...
That's accurate. That is the way, and maybe we need the Silver Badger to come back in order for Missy to come back. Maybe.
I might balance it down a little bit.
Yeah. So I guess we're going to go ahead and start, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on it because I teased it. We might as well jump into it. That would be the ultimate tease if we didn't. HBO Max,
mm-hmm.
Those Who Wish Me Dead. Have you watched this yet?
I have not yet.
Do you know the plot?
A little bit, yeah.
So this is all you need to know. Angelina Jolie is a smoke jumper. She's a parachuting firefighter.
Yeah.
Not probably the biggest stretch of her career.
Yes.
I don't think Angelina Jolie looks or could pull off the part of a smoke jumper.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't know what kind of a female participated field that is.
She might be crazy enough to do it, though.
Well, that's the point of the movie. She's kind of long in the tooth nearing the end of her career, and she is crazy.
Yeah.
She has a bit of a death wish because of some happens and some flashbacks. But the whole premise of the movie is she's a smoke jumper. There's a reason a guy goes on the run with his son. He's a forensics accountant who turned over some secrets that involves politicians, powerful men, and those are who wish him dead.
Yeah.
And he gets to the Colorado area or wherever it's filmed at, where she is, and she ends up protecting the son of him because two hitmen light the place on fire, and they in turn start tracking him down.
Yeah.
Now, John Barenthal's in this, and he's very awesome in it. But they should have just named this movie Don't Fuck with Strong Women, because that's the way it is. And so all of that said, which doesn't sound great, I did not paint a rosy picture of this movie. But when you watch it, you will feel like, oh, I'm watching a 1993 Sylvester Stallone cliffhanger type movie. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a nostalgic piece.
Yeah.
And for that, it gets a 4 out of 5 for me.
Yeah.
Because of that alone. If I was to be realistic, it would be like a 2.75 out of 5.
Okay.
But that alone makes the movie transcends how bad of a plot and an idea it is. And I'm going to tell you this, and this is one of the things I wish Missy was down here for. It, it And maybe I'm wrong in this, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, because there's been a downtime in how hot Angelina Jolie is.
Yeah.
But in this movie, she's back to her old hot self. She's older, still smoking hot.
Yeah.
And as hot as any woman in Hollywood has ever been, I think.
Okay.
What do you...
It's been so long since I've seen her in anything.
Yeah. But she was a smoke show when she was younger.
She was, yeah. Back in, like, Pushing 10 Days.
Mm. What was that, Gia? Or
yes, that the model one.
Yeah, where she was all nude and kissing on women.
Yeah,
which elevates you extra points.
Oh yeah, and then back in the Hackers days too.
Oh, Hackers was a good one too. Maybe can you name a worse movie though of depicting the topic at which it was supposed to represent? For instance, when she's showing her computer. And they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
What kind of graphics card do you have? Like, that's not really speeding up the computer or anything.
Yeah, it was pretty bad for that type of stuff, but it was a good mindless movie.
Oh, it's a great movie. Yeah. But, you know, that's also someone, too. What was the name of that?
Johnny Lee Miller?
Johnny Lee Miller. Yeah. Didn't really materialize into the stardom that they thought he was going
to.
No,
he did not.
No. Did he do something wrong, I wonder? I wonder if he was a Me Too before that was a thing.
I don't think so, because he was on that home or Sherlock or whatever it was, like the modern Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, that's right. He was he was a bad guy one season, I believe, in Dexter. So I'm pretty sure.
Was he?
I believe he was, I could be wrong, but I thought he was the, some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? What's old Tony Robbins? Motivational speaker guy.
Okay.
And I think that he played... we're going to find out.
I might have blocked that season out of my memory.
Wasn't great. He kept like a little thing around his neck, which was the vial of his first victim. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But we're going to track back right now. We're going to look. Dexter, yep. Eight episodes in the... It doesn't say what season it is, but he was Jordan Chase. That's a bad guy name.
I vaguely remember that.
That's a bad guy name.
That name sounds familiar. Are you going to watch the new Dexter?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was such a bad taste in my mouth from one of the worst finales of all time that I hope they somehow, even if it doesn't end well, at least seeing maybe two or three good episodes will redeem what was. And I think it's a mini series event.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's like 4 to 6 episodes and that's it.
Yeah. Hopefully just to fix that ending.
Oh, God, yeah. Just a bad ending.
Oh, it was horrible.
Did you watch the show as a whole, though?
Yeah. I binged the first 7 seasons of it, and Erin started watching 8 with me, and she's like, oh, we got to stop, and I got to see it from the beginning.
Yeah.
So I had to wait and rewatch the whole show with her and go through those last 4 bad seasons.
Missy watched it without me because I believe it was before we... I can't remember if it was before we started dating or what, but I jumped in on like season 2 or 3. I jumped in before the black police officer that was a big part of the early seasons died, before he was dead. And that's around when I started, is when Dexter, and he finally realized the truth about Dexter.
Yeah.
And then I never went back and rewatched him.
Yeah.
But I was already at that point, I was like, oh, I get it. Like, I don't know anything. I didn't know anything for a while about the Ice Cream Man until the interwebs became so easily accessible in Wikipedia and things like that. But it was I can't tell you, before they, and I don't know if jumping the shark's the right word, but before it got, I got all the way up until the, and it's too bad too, because I love I love him as an actor, but all the way up until, Colin Hanks.
Yeah. Edward James Olmos.
It was unbelievable. And then it just kind of... Then the John Lithgow season was...
Yes, it was.
Like, and I get where they were going with the... And this, by the way, spoiler alert, people. This is... this show's been out a long time. But the Colin Hanks episode on paper sounds like a great idea. In fact, in a comic book, it's worked perfect for times like with Batman.
Yeah.
Essentially, Colin Hanks' character was the same as Dexter. Mm-hmm. He had a dark passenger that he hallucinated that he saw, then it was his former teacher, and that was, you know, and, you know, Dexter had his and his father who was his, you know. So it made sense on paper for, like, it was the yin and yang of what they did. It just didn't work out in execution. It was just too cheesy.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Did you ever read any of the books or anything?
No, I think Missy tried the first one, but I don't know that she got into them.
I don't know if I could after watching the show.
Have you ever
I've never tried.
Yeah, it's like, I know that, like, not even really comparable in genre, but comparable in terms of fame, when True Blood came out.
Yeah.
And we really enjoyed True Blood until the Faye season. Mm-hmm. And then it was just nutty as a freak. We still finished because there was a lot of nudity, and that was cool.
Yeah.
But we got the books for Missy's stepsister, and she read them. She goes, "Oh, the books are crazier." I was like, "That's all I need to know."
Yeah.
The show's pretty out there. So.
Yeah. So, you want to jump to...
Give me something you got. Yeah, I mean, that was a long way to talk about Those Who Wish Me Dead. But yeah, what do you got? Oh, by the way, I should say this before you do that. I brought no preparation. There's not a piece of paper in front of me. So, here, Zill, we got 50 more minutes. Go.
Okay. So, did you watch episode 1 of Loki?
I have... Oh, yes. Yes. I just saw your paper, so I was... Yeah. No, I loved episode 1 of Loki.
Oh, it was incredible.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is he, in fact, chasing himself?
I already know the answer because there are spoilers out there.
Oh, okay.
So I don't want to spoil it for
you. All right. Maybe when it goes off the air. Let's not spoil it for everybody because I'll tell you what I want. And it's the perfect show to bring in King the Conqueror.
Oh, yeah.
It's the perfect show.
Yep.
I don't want it to be Loki. And one reason I don't think it's Loki, before you tell me when we're not recording, or I look up because I can't. I mean, it's like I already know what my Christmas present is. I'm going to have to open it. Because they didn't show his face at the end.
Right.
And why wouldn't you show his face if it was him already? But, all right. But wait. Give me – and episode 2 is tomorrow or Wednesday.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's Wednesday. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the week before we go on vacation, so the days don't make sense.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on the show, and let's jump into a little couple of points about what we liked about it.
Okay, I really liked it. It was more of that setup episode, the origin movie of the trilogy. But I really liked where this can go because they're setting up multiverse.
They've already alluded to the multiverse and its madness. We don't want that. So they've brilliantly so painted the tie-in to the upcoming Doctor Strange.
Right.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. One thing I noticed, though, is this is going to leave people with a lot of questions like WandaVision did.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem like it has the hype that show did.
I think because WandaVision was first and it was so different.
Yeah.
I think WandaVision came out when the pandemic was still kind of going.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of out and moving about the cabin. You know, the unbuckle your seatbelt just came on and we're moving.
Full capacity at sports again, yeah.
I think that's the only reason. The same thing happened with Falcon and Winter Soldier. Falcon and Winter Soldier was way better than the internet gave it credit for.
Oh,
and I don't think the internet shit on it, but they didn't praise it as much as they should
right.
have. They were so... And don't get me wrong, WandaVision was fantastic.
Yeah.
But they were so willing to overlook some plot holes and some flaws in WandaVision that they weren't in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I also think that everyone learned from that show that you can't just assume this is what's going to happen. There's no Mephisto. All that stuff.
We guessed, you know.
I think they're even poking fun at that by having the picture of the devil and the kid pointing to it.
So... I want to ask you a question first, but first thing I'm going to tell you is what made me like it so much. One of my favorite series of books, and you'll know before I even say the title, led to eventually to a very underrated movie with Sam Rockwell and what's his name from The Hobbit, from Lord of the
Rings. Marvin Freeman.
Freeman. And that's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes.
Very underrated movie. Was it great? No. Are the books it's based on kooky and kind of peculiar, but still ridiculously beautiful? Yes.
Yep.
It's the most inaccurately titled Hitchhiker's trilogy, and it has 5 books.
Yep.
And that's part of the joke. This episode of Loki felt like that movie and those books.
Oh, yeah.
And especially with the waiting room and the whole variance police.
Well, that was one of the things the director said she was pulling from. That and, was it Metropolis? The old sci-fi movie?
Yes, yeah.
So when you looked outside and you saw the city, that's what that was supposed to look like.
Yeah, and the robot standing up was a big deal back in the 30s or whenever that was made.
Yeah.
So that, and I didn't know that, I haven't read anything about that, but I know that that's what they were trying for.
Yeah.
Some things that were great because they tried that is they have the perfect person in Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, yeah.
And to be honest with you, and this is a question I was going to pose to you, Did they perfectly cast Owen Wilson?
Oh, yes, they did. I could watch a show of just them sitting there talking.
Why does Owen Wilson work in a superhero universe?
An offbeat character.
Because he works perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. It is the show, the premise, the idea, the fact that they're playing him offbeat, but they are playing him competent. They're not playing him as the bumbling detective. He's competent.
Yeah.
In fact, he's smart. In fact, they're... Because he's smart, they're willing to trust him more than they should.
Yeah. I think if it was one of those things where he was a hero and he came out on steroids and looking all huge, I think that's when you had
the issue. He didn't change who he was to be that character.
Yeah.
In fact, it's kind of funny, too, the dichotomy between him and the really gung-ho police officer type that's with him.
Yeah.
When who doesn't really get along with him at the crime scenes and stuff like that. Also... Super fun. Are those Infinity Gems? Oh, yeah, we got a ton of those.
Yeah, I think they're setting it up so people realize there's other big artifacts out there that people can use.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never seen the Ultimate Nullifier.
No.
You know, but until we get a good Galactus story, we won't.
Right.
But,
I mean, you had, like, the Cosmic Cube.
The Cosmic Cube, the Cosmic Cube is... A piece of the Infinity Gauntlet, right?
Yeah, that's what they're saying, maybe it's something they're going to go back and retcon. There's an actual cosmic cube.
It would be nice because it's this super powerful device that doesn't have to exist with the Infinity Gems.
Right.
But nothing works there, which is cool. No magic works there, which is awesome.
The whole drawer just full of Infinity Stones.
Which it makes sense, too, because if you're outside of time, one of the key ingredients to work magic is time.
Yeah.
And they don't have it, so it doesn't work. And I think that's very cool. That's why Loki's powers don't work. And,
yep.
When they punched him and their ability to slow things down when they hit him and stuff, that's super cool.
So somebody was bored enough that they slowed the show down to 1/15 speed, and they said Loki was moving even slower than that, so that agent was just messing with him by telling him it was 1/15 speed.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah,
also some of the tertiary characters like that, and I'm sorry I didn't do my research, but that black female police officer, she was great in it.
Yeah, she was.
The character that ends up that the annoying kid who kind of is a bit of a tribute, I guess. Not, I don't think they did it on purpose, but seemed like the kid from. Deadpool 2. You know what I mean? He was annoying, and when he got incinerated.
Then Casey, the artifact collector.
Yeah, all of it. The show, I'm excited about the second episode. I'm probably not going to get to watch it till Friday.
Yeah, we probably won't either.
But I tell you, the four build-up episode, pretty awesome.
Yeah. And so, I know you mentioned Kang, but they could go a different route and show Immortus, because
Immortus is a good one.
He has a tie to the TVA, and then eventually will become Kang.
Yeah,
so.
That, and I was about to say, for those that don't know, Immortus and Kang are bitter enemies, and they're the same person, which is kind of what they're pulling off with Loki.
Yeah.
And also, we've mentioned in the show before, Kang has really got the number of the Avengers on multiple occasions. He knows how to beat them.
Yeah.
And it's not that he knows how to beat them, but he always accomplishes what he's out to do.
And... he's a great foil for Doctor Doom, too.
Absolutely, yeah. And let's hope we get a Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
You know, let's hope. Speaking of, we can come back to Loki if we want. But let's do this real quick. Yeah. It's only one episode in.
Yeah.
We'll call this the way too soon scoring for the show. But right now, for me, again, it's a 5 out of 5.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
In fact, I don't want to go too hard on my love for it without having seen a second episode, but the way it paced itself and the setup it did and the things that it talks about, I'm looking more. It may deliver better than the first two, between WandaVision and Falcon.
Yeah,
which I loved both.
Mm-hmm.
But if they just get the if they can stick the landing, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of Fantastic Four, mm-hmm. and the possibility of a John Krasinski.
Yeah.
Hayden wanted to see a movie on her birthday because it was blazing hot.
Yeah.
And me and Missy both took the day off, so we went and watched in the theater A Quiet Place 2.
Okay.
And did you go see it or just Madeline?
No, actually Kaylee, my oldest.
Oh, Kaylee went and saw it. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
With her grandparents.
No, that's awesome. And she loved it?
Oh, yeah, she loved it.
So... I'm not gonna go too deep into it since you haven't. Did you see one?
Okay, no, we never saw one.
So it's okay to talk about.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that the more I think about it, the more problems I come up with.
Yeah.
The whole series. But if I stop thinking about it, John Krasinski has gave us a pretty cool world to play in, and there's going to be a third one because
yeah.
there's a spoiler warning for everybody in 3, 2, 1. There is a flashback at the beginning of this one, but for all intents and purposes, this starts 1 minute after the first one ends.
Yeah.
And if they do a third one, it is perfectly set up to start exactly where that one ends. And that said, this is a movie that this movie, kind of like a lot of Marvel movies, but it's a one of the beautiful things about this movie. It's the reason they make movie theaters. Mm-hmm. It's the reason you go see them in a movie, because the fact that this bad guy, these aliens in this, have an auditory thing to where they track down things by sound,
yeah,
means they play with sound in the theater all the time. So the surround sound, you'll hear the noise over here, and you'll see the character on screen look that way,
yeah,
or you'll hear it's off screen and you hear its rattle go all the way around. I mean, it's just a great movie experience. It's a 5 out of 5 in experience. The movie for me is probably about a 3.75,
yeah,
and the first one was probably a 4. But I've since started thinking about the first and second one. For instance, there's a newspaper clipping that John Krasinski's character has on the wall in the basement or their cellar,
mm-hmm.
and it's a newspaper clipping that says it's sound, that where they figured out that they're attracted to sound.
Mm-hmm.
How many people died printing that newspaper?
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of problems with the show.
Those machines are pretty loud to make a newspaper.
It's and these things moved fast. They spread quick. You know, and they still don't give you any clue to where they came from. That you just see them actually getting to Earth.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of places he can go. I have a feeling that the more shows and the more material we see these, the less it's going to be awesome.
Right.
I think the air of mystique to them, that is what makes them cool.
Yeah.
And this is a massive spoiler for people. I also have a big, big problem on... So the whole premise of this movie is the girl that's deaf... She's very smart. She's a lot like her dad. She's very creative. She's got an analytical mind, and she kind of figures out. They finally hear this radio broadcast, and she realizes it's a clue, and she looks up the radio station. She finds out, triangulates where it could be, and they go to this island.
Yeah.
Well, her and Cillian Murphy's character. And I don't think I'm pronouncing it right. I think I've been pronouncing it wrong over the years. I think I heard of someone famous say his name, and it's not Cillian. It's we'll have to look that up.
Okay, yeah, that's what I always call him too.
Yeah, but so there's this really cool scene on the dock with these humans, because there's some bad humans out there too.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, it's a very cool scene. I'm not going to ruin it more than that. But they get to the island, and this is not too big a spoiler considering you have 20 minutes left in the movie. But we find out that the aliens, monsters, whatever you want to call them, they can't swim. They die in water. And they get away, and him and the daughter, they get over to the island, and everything's, they're so far away that the monsters can't get. So they live with, you know, they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cillian's kind of taking it all in, and they've agreed to go back and help him go find, what's John Krasinski's wife name?
Emily Blunt,
and the son, and their child, the infant child. So they've agreed to go back with them, and he's kind of reflecting on what this means. He's taking it in, and he's on the beach of this little island, and he hears a noise, and he looks over, and a boat that one of the monsters jumped on in order to keep itself from drowning is there. It took them roughly half a day to get to that island on their boat, knowing where to go. And we're supposed to believe that the monster just drifted from the shore over to the island, when there's like... is a fraction of the percentage of the ocean that surrounds it. It's like, okay. Like, he certainly did not drive.
Yeah.
And even if he knew, could hear and track, he can't steer the boat. He has no hands. He couldn't fit into it. They're bigger. But so there's some silly things like that. But all in all, it's a movie that if people have a chance to go see in a theater, I highly recommend doing it. Emily Blunt's great.
Yeah.
She takes a bit of a backseat in this, where she was very prominent in the first one. And there's going to be a third one.
Yeah.
As long as Krasinski wants to make it. And the thing I'll say to John Krasinski is that for a very young director, he does a lot of really smart things with these movies.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it quite a bit. That's all I want to say.
He wrote them too, right?
Yeah, he and her. But I think it's based on a script from someone else.
Okay.
That helped. I don't think it's just them.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you got?
So I've watched Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, okay, the entirety?
The entirety.
Okay, how was it as a whole?
I'm actually on it a second time because I'm watching it with my kids. because it's good enough for them to watch.
Okay. I mean, it's not as dark as you expected.
Right. The comic was a lot darker. The basic gist is there's a pandemic that kills off most of humanity.
It's a stretch.
Right at the same time that hybrid children are being born, half animal, half human.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know the gist of it, but for the people at home, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's a lot different than the graphic novels.
Okay. And they're definitely a mature reader book.
They are.
Vertigo imprint.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm going to let my kids read them too, because okay. I'm not worried about it. There's no sex or anything in it. That's the main thing I'm worried about.
Knowing that Missy hates us and won't sit in with you, do you think it's a show that she would watch?
I think so. Aaron was watching the first. I think we've seen the first three with the kids.
Okay.
And she was enjoying it.
All right.
But she goes and sees all the comic book movies anyway. So.
Is there anybody notable casting? Because I haven't looked anything up on this show yet.
I think it's Will Forte plays Sweet Tooth's father in the first episode.
He's
in
got a lot of shit. Irons in the Fire of Late. He's great, by the way.
Oh, he is. I didn't even recognize him at first.
Yeah.
But nobody else I knew before this.
So, yeah.
It's a lot different than the comic, like I said, but it gets to the same spot at the end of the season that the first graphic novel ends.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
One of the problems I had, which I didn't have a lot of problems, but some of the problems I had with Invincible is the accelerating of some plot points.
Yeah.
I think they could have let a little few things marinate with his dad and stuff and just followed the first 12 issues.
Yeah.
And in the right order, and they didn't.
Yeah.
But that's awesome that they did.
Yeah.
Because then that, like, kind of also, as a person that's familiar with source material, lets you know where they're going.
Yeah.
And the pacing. I mean, you know, I don't know how many trades that book is. I don't know how far it went.
6 trades for the main story, and then Lemire did a one set like 300 years in the future.
So they could, essentially what they could do with this show is they could, for the most part, follow the trades. I mean, it's going to be very hard to get 6 seasons out of any show on Netflix.
Yeah, I think so.
But you could probably get 4, so they could condense some and cut some fat here and there. And then they could have a final episode that jumps 300 years into the future.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I haven't read...
We just wrote it for them.
Yeah. I haven't read the newest trade. I ordered it off Amazon. It's not out yet. All 6 issues came out, though, so...
Okay.
I'm looking forward to getting that.
Yeah, I may ask to borrow it from... It's not on Hoopla or anything, is it? I don't know. I'll have to check.
I don't know. I haven't looked.
I've got some time. I'm going to be traveling.
Well, I can give you the trades if you want.
Yeah, but if it's on Hoopla, it'll just make it easier.
Yeah,
it's because I'll be doing some travel.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing about traveling, by the way, is access to movies that are still in theaters.
Yep.
On the flight and watching something that I otherwise would never watch or pay for, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So, but in the airport though, I read.
Yeah.
When the girls aren't driving me crazy, and they very rarely drive me crazy. We are leaving, by the way, at 3:30 in the morning from the house.
Yep.
And to get to the airport, get parked, get there. We fly out at 6. We're flying the natural route of St. Louis to Minneapolis to San Diego.
Oh yeah, that sounds about right.
Make sure. And the only reason we did that is I do always do my best, and I'll pay for no stops.
Yeah.
And I'll pay for the most direct route. But this was the only one that left at 6 a.m. and got us there before noon.
Yeah.
So. I'm good with it. I don't give a shit. But yeah,
we did the same thing for Arizona. We were up at 3:30 at the airport and ready to go at 6.
So on, you've seen it all the way. I will get your review right now, and then I'll give it a chance. Out of 5, what is the show?
I'd probably give it a 4 out of 5.
That's a good strong show.
It is.
That's a good strong. Netflix comes good. I mean, they swing for the fence, and when they connect, it's always out of the park.
So when I initially was watching it, I'm like, well, this is so different. But then I got to thinking about how they changed it, and it really worked well.
Yeah. So that's a good point too, because sometimes some things in comic books and books are just so silly.
Yeah.
They won't work. So when you see them make a choice that's logically makes sense. For instance, in The Boys, mm-hmm. for TV, it makes sense that they aren't superpowered
right.
like they are in the comic books. And they get there by taking V, Compound V.
Yeah.
It works for the show. It raises the stakes of the show. Every once in a while, do I want to see them actually be badasses?
Yeah.
But still, it makes Butcher more Batman-like than Superman-like.
Yeah.
That he's... outsmarts them. So yeah, I like when they make logical choices that benefit the flow of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in. I'll give it a chance.
It's totally worth checking out.
I may even watch it, you know, while we're on vacation, and when I'm, because I wake up before them and have nothing to do. So, and I've got the iPad, and I want to talk about my iPad for 1 second, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. I've started drawing again really hard this last week or so, and one reason I did, I think, is so we're going to plug something that we have literally no connection to, but if anybody, they wanted to sponsor us, throw some stuff our way, because it's one of the best products I've ever bought for a computer for a computer or a tablet or anything. I was on Facebook and I saw one of, you know how commercials pop up for you, and it came up, and I needed a new screen protector for my, I've never used one, and Hayden draws much like the Flintstones chisel.
Oh yeah,
she, like, she wants to push things through the paper or the tablet. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get a screen protector for the tablet, for the iPad. And I got one called Paper-like. Mm-hmm. And I have to let you touch it. It feels like paper when you're drawing on it. It's a little textured. But what it offers is a little more control over your pen when you're drawing and doing stuff. And it allows me to get a little more precise in some of my drawing.
Oh, wow.
And you don't, because one thing, the only problem that you have with Procreate or Photoshop for the iPad or things like that is you're not truly drawing. It never feels that way. This, and it's $40 and you get two sheets of it.
Yeah.
It feels like a piece of paper.
And so is that's it all. iPad only or?
No, it's for any tablet.
Okay.
But I got it obviously for my iPad. Yeah. And oh, it's awesome. Okay. And $38 plus about $5-6 shipping. And I got two of them. And I'll never buy another screen protector for a tablet or a Wacom or anything like that again. It's awesome.
I'll have to look into that for Kaylee because she's big into art and.
Oh, she'll love it.
Yeah.
She'll love it. It's super good. And that's our commercial for the day. What's the next topic you brought up?
So I started watching Orphan Black.
I want to watch it. So we started watching Black Mirror. Okay. I actually started watching the first 2-3 episodes, and then Missy gave me a lot of shit about watching it without her. And I'm like, oh my God, I've mentioned this over the years like 5 times, and you've never acted in her. Which she called me a liar, which I'm not. But I love it. Yeah. Orphan Black is another one of those I want to get into.
Yeah. I'm about one season into it. It's really good.
Now, what's her name? What's the star's name in that?
Tatiana Maslany.
Yeah, yeah. And she's went on to do stuff, right?
Well, she's going to be She-Hulk.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And that's the reason why I wanted to watch it, to see how she does in something else first.
Yeah. So, in essence, she's going to be a superstar.
Yeah, I think so. At some point.
Because Marvel really does, more than Star Wars even. Marvel catapults you into stardom.
Oh, yeah.
Tatiana Maslany. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, and because I hear, and she, I believe, I could be wrong, but I'm fairly certain she was either nominated or won an Emmy for this.
I think so.
She's unbelievable, they say.
Well, yeah, because she's playing multiple roles.
A lot.
Yeah. But it's a really interesting story, a lot of mystery to it. I'd give it probably 4.5 out of 5.
Did you know there's the next chapter? There's a 2020... 8.9 is, or wait, maybe that was somebody else. Okay, never mind. That was someone's review recently reviewed it. Boy, I tell you what, in case you want to be impressed by it, it has layup great reviews all over IMDb and everything.
I have a buddy, Marcus, who used to come on our podcast every once in a while when we did it. He highly recommended it. So when he highly recommends something, I usually jump on it.
Okay. And I want to ask you a few more things about it, or at least let you get a few more thoughts about it. But I'm looking at her body of work. I got to tell you what, this girl's like knew how to be a star in genre. She was in Stir of Echoes. I didn't know that. The remake, Stir of Echoes 2.
Okay.
But she goes way back. I didn't realize she's been around as long as she has. But she was in Eastern Promises, which I can only assume that's like Western Promises, or is Eastern? Or is Eastern Promises the one with? Yeah, that's the Viggo Mortensen.
Okay.
That's the Viggo Mortensen movie. It was a pretty good movie. Diary of the Dead. So she started dipping her toe into genre a little bit. Mm-hmm. She was in that show Flashpoint that was on, where everybody forgot for ABC or what have you.
Yeah.
But then you know, a lot of different like nerdier and independent stuff. But then she gets into like. Robot Chicken. She was on Robot Chicken for, and then she was on Alphas, which was a pretty big show there for a little bit. And, you know, she's got a solid geek World Without End, which was also another genre miniseries. Cracked, I don't remember what that was. Parks and Recreation for two episodes.
Really?
Something called Captain Canuck, which I can only assume is awesome.
Yeah.
BoJack Horseman, she was on one episode of that. So
the voice stuff makes sense because some of the clones she plays a British one.
Okay.
And an American one. And then like a Lithuanian one or Russian or something. So she does a lot of different accents in it.
And probably pretty good. Then.
Yeah.
So the premise of the show is essentially she's a is she the only clone?
Yes. She's a character named Sarah that comes back to confront her troubled past. And as she's at the train station, she looks over and she sees someone that looks exactly like her step in front of a train.
Okay.
She swipes the wallet, finds out that the woman had money, so she was going to try to take the money, pay off all her debt, but she finds out the woman was a cop. And she gets pulled into this conspiracy about all these people that look like her, and they find out clones are involved.
And every clone has their own strength, gimmick, and things like that. Some of them are like, not superheroes, but pretty...
There's the one she replaced that was a cop. There's a soccer mom. There's
serial
like
killer.
There's serial killer. There's like a biology student in the U.S. So, a lot of different people in it.
And how far into it are you?
I think I'm closing in on the end of the first season.
How many seasons were there?
I think there were four.
So then there is a finite ending, right?
Yeah, there is.
I may check it out one day, especially.
See, I usually go and wait till the show is completely done just so I can knock it out at once. Because I've gotten to the point where I don't like waiting week to week.
Yeah, that's
especially
tough.
Like watching these Marvel shows. If you don't watch them day one, spoilers are everywhere.
You can't help it with Marvel also. I mean, you can't wait around for it to end.
Or Star Wars.
Yeah. I'll give that a go. And in fact, it may be a good segue off of Black Mirror, which, by the way, the reason I brought Black Mirror up because they're both BBC shows, and I may segue off of Black Mirror and get into that and just watch Black Mirror as Missy can watch it with me. And by the way, speaking of BBC, I don't know when we're getting Doctor Who back, but I can't wait.
Yeah.
I got a feeling that, and I apologize for blanking on her name real quick, I have a feeling she's not long for this Doctor Who life.
Jodie Whittaker,
yeah. I like her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's her fault that the shows haven't been what they have been in the past.
Yeah.
I think it's just the writing right now, new showrunner, a lot.
Yeah.
But I still miss Doctor Who, and I still love Doctor Who, and I can't wait for that to come back.
I might get my nerd card revoked, but I've only seen like the first season of Peter. Not Capaldi, but the guy that was on Heroes.
Wait a minute, Chris Eccleston first. Yeah, Chris Eccleston. You can skip that season.
Okay,
those seasons. Yeah,
just go straight to
David Tennant.
Okay.
Start with David Tennant, and then be ready by the end of David Tennant's run to let Waterworks fly.
Okay,
and then you're like. But it's okay because it turns out Matt Smith is amazing.
Yeah.
And then be ready to let the waterworks fly.
Yeah.
It's tough, man.
Yeah.
But David Tennant's unbelievable. I mean, you can see why and how he should have been a star, a breakthrough star. He's great.
Yeah. He was incredible as Purple Man.
Oh, it was phenomenal. I can't remember the name. There's a movie where a couple of kids pose as valets and steal his car.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he's a serial killer.
Oh, wow.
I can't think of the name of the movie, but it's awesome. It's a great movie. He's great. He's just great. Speaking of things, I'll segue into something. Speaking of things that get you teary-eyed, and now hold judgment when I bring up what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But there's a WWE show on AMC, or A&E, sorry, called Treasure something, Lost Treasures or something. And each episode is there's a focal point. So what they're doing is there's a real guy named Ben something or another that is the curator for all WWE memorabilia. And they have decided, you know, years too late, but they've decided that it's time to create a WWE, the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, to make that a real thing.
Yeah.
And use all this amazing WWE things that they have in their warehouse. But the gimmick of the show is that they don't even have a third of the stuff that they've ever done.
Right.
Like, it's all out there in the collector world.
Yeah.
And each episode, they'll profile a star, and if that star is living, they'll help them try to track it down. If they're not living, they'll get someone close to them to try to track it down. And I tell you, the reviews are pretty strong for this, and it's good. And sometimes you get guys that just, you got to pay them a lot of money, and you think, what an asshole. And then other times you'll get guys that'll just... give it to you. A lot of the wrestlers give it to them. A lot of the, like, Jimmy Hart's of the world, they give the mouth of the south. But that said, the season finale is next week, and it's a two-hour Ric Flair episode with Shawn Michaels. We're going to track down some of Ric Flair's ropes and stuff, and that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Which is a good, I mean, that's deserved of a season finale, but this week's episode, the penultimate episode, if you would, was an extra long hour and a half episode about Andre the Giant.
Ooh.
And I got to tell you what, and they say right at the beginning, disclaimer, we found unearthed a lot of pictures and videos that have never before been seen, and every time they show them, they put exclusive up on it.
Yeah.
And they go around, it's Big Show and it's Mark Henry, and there's the problem. And it's always the same guy who's a wrestler wannabe for the WWE, who's all, I mean, he's actually in the NXT, but he's also doing this for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Henry, world's strongest man, legitimate stud, and a great pro wrestler in his own right, had a great career. He's such a big softy when it comes to Andre. He said, you know, in Big Show too, I got into wrestling because of Andre and Mark Henry. But Mark Henry, like, he tries on Andre's tuxedo, they let him try it on, and he starts crying.
Yeah.
And every time they get up, and he legitimately gets mad when Sonny Ono, who's a WCW character, he has a literally an online auction with them there, and let him bid for this mask that Andre wore as the giant machine when he was in Japan. And Mark Henry, when they lose it, he gets mad.
Yeah.
And he walks out. And he's like, I had to walk out before I broke something.
Yeah.
But he gets teary-eyed when he gets in it. And even Stephanie McMahon gets teary-eyed when they get a passport of Andre.
Yeah.
But what's so great, and, you know, I also kind of did want the flop down here, and we're going to stop dwelling on the fact that the flop hates us. I wanted her idea, her opinion on this, because Triple H said something great on the episode. He goes, you don't have to like pro wrestling, and you did not have to be born in the 60s, 70s, or 80s. To today know who Andre the Giant is.
No, my kids know.
And that's why he's still the, literally and figuratively, the biggest star wrestling's ever had. I mean, you know, Vince multiple times said there'd be no Hogan without Andre, there'd be no Macho Man, Andre the Giant made Vince Sr. rich enough to where wrestling could buy up territories and stuff.
Yeah.
And they end it by going to his adopted town in North Carolina, where he had two best friends. I can't remember her name, and I apologize, but her ex-husband, Frenchie, ran Andre's farm and his ranch while he was gone, and she's still alive, and she took all of the... She still lived in the town, so she just took all the stuff that Andre ever gave her. She was, I'm going to start an Andre Giant Museum here.
Nice.
But when they go see her, and she just says, no, take it on loan from me, put it where it needs to be, but the shit she has and the stories he has, and when she talks about... So for those that don't know, Andre could have saved his own life by having the surgery that he didn't have to remove the tumor from his pituitary gland. And I think that's the gland, right? Thyroid, pituitary.
I think so.
Yeah, so he didn't. And because he didn't, he knew he was going to die at a young age.
Yeah.
Well, when Andre was 46, I believe it was, in 2000 or in 93 or whatever it was, I can't remember, but his dad died. And she drove him to the airport, and she said, I was mad at him for whatever reason. She goes, because Andre was the most lovable, biggest humanitarian I know, but he could throw a fit like a kid.
Yeah.
And then he was hard to talk to. She goes, so I was mad at him, and he said, well, just walk me to the gate at the airport. And she said, no, I'm going to go home. It's late. And he flew over there, and during his dad's funeral, he died. So her last conversation with him was she was upset with him.
Ugh.
And she starts crying, telling the story. And they give these little containers to the Big Show and to Mark Henry and to the guy that's with them, and let them, because they showed footage, again, never before seen footage, of his memorial service here.
Yeah.
Andre loved horses.
Yeah.
And there were only three people talked. It was her, Frenchie, and Hulk Hogan at the funeral. And then they all got on horses, and they rode a procession around the ranch. And as they did, Frenchie scattered his ashes. 19 pounds of ashes.
Whoa.
Over the ranch. And so she gave them containers and said, if you go scoop up some of that red clay, that's where we spread his ashes. So they have that.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
I got teary-eyed thinking about watching. I got multiple times them talking about Andre.
I'm going to go find that tomorrow.
Oh, it's worth watching. It's totally worth watching. So I know, like I said, hold judgment on me that a damn treasure-seeking show about WWE, but they do an amazing job on the Andre episode.
So it's... You answered one of my questions, because I was going to ask, what do they do about the AEW guys? Like, what about JR
on here?
Yeah, okay.
Snakes on it. JR. I don't know if JR has much to do on it, but they do an entire episode on Jake the Snake. They do They do the Andre with Mark Henry. I mean, they're it's so weird too, because it's funny you bring that up, because a few weeks ago they mentioned AEW on air. They made a reference to an AEW thing on air, and that's a sign that Vince is maybe on his way out, because he won't acknowledge anything.
Right.
But they're airing these shows. I mean, they're Hall of Famers for WWE. These guys are. So yeah,
because Mark Henry and Big Show are both on AEW now as announcers.
Yeah, yeah, and Big Show said he signed as a performer also.
Yeah.
He just hasn't done anything yet. Which, next Battle Royal, he's going to come down and get in it.
Oh, yeah.
But what's cool is, so like, for instance, they got, so this episode, they ended up tracking down, they had Andre's, one of his singlets.
Yeah.
So Big Show had still had his WCW singlet, which is the opposite shoulder, so they're going to put them side by side.
Oh, nice.
They got, from Saturday Night Main Event, Andre's suit jacket that he wore from the main event.
Okay.
So they put that up there. They had his giant machine when he was with the WWE but touring in Japan,
mm-hmm.
when he was masked. And they have his passport. And with Mark Henry, being, they're going to do what they call the big man exhibit.
Yeah.
So Mark Henry gave his original USA jacket. And it's going to go in between the singlets and stuff. And that's, I mean, it'll be cool when they open this. If they open this to the public in the next year or two, I may go.
Oh, yeah. Are they going to have Yokozuna's diaper?
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, there's a lot of people that have nothing but great things to say about Yokozuna as a performer.
Yeah.
And a say, he never hurt anybody.
Right.
He was so good. And for those that don't know, Yokozuna was Samoan. He was not Japanese. He was Samoan. He was from that family that produced The Rock, Fatu, and all those guys. And he, but you're right. He's another big man that can contribute, that owes a lot of his success to Andre the Giant.
Yeah. So. Andre put over so many people.
Yeah.
And that's uncommon with stars that big.
Well, and it's funny that they talked to Flair on it for a little bit too. They go, what was it like wrestling Andre? And he goes, oh man. Hard. He goes, nothing you could do if he didn't want you to. If he didn't want to lose, Andre would not lose.
Yeah.
So, you know, go ahead. What's the next thing you got, though?
We might get some Zack Snyder in the Sony Spider-Verse.
What? I haven't seen this, so this is all new to me.
So I heard this. Well, it's from We Got Covered. They throw every single rumor they hear against the wall, and like maybe one out of 50 of them stick. But they're saying that Zack Snyder's been approached by Sony to do one of the Spider-Man spin-off movies. They haven't said what or anything.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I just wanted to look up and make sure that, he was of Samoan descent. I wanted to make sure I didn't. I knew he was related to family, but, you know, I don't want to insult another guy that's passed away. But so, a Spider-Man spin-off movie.
Yeah. Because they're doing, I mean, they've done the two Venom movies now.
Yeah.
And they're doing, Morbius comes out next year. And then they've got like Spider-Woman in production, and they've got Kraven the Hunter coming out. So
how do you do a Kraven the Hunter without being a Spider-Man movie?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of who, what could be left for, to be a Spider-Man movie.
He doesn't really have any zombie bad guys that you could use Snyder efficiently.
It's funny that we, that's the way we look at, Zack Snyder, considering he's returned back to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to look. I'm going to do Spider-Man villains. You've got.
Well, I'm. For a I'm while, just saying villains. Talking about like a Black Cat, Silver Sable movie, but that doesn't seem like something he would
do. No, it doesn't.
God, I have no clue.
Tombstone's
what,
not enough to be.
No.
Huh. Boy, I don't know.
Yeah.
So my knee jerk would be Spider-Man Noir.
Yeah.
And since we didn't get Nick Cage as the character.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to say that it has to be live action, because we know there's going to be Gwen Stacy.
Right.
Spider-Gwen spinoff from that.
Yeah.
Into the Spider-Verse. So that'd be my bet.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, too, because, I mean, he already got that dark, gritty style that he does in every single movie.
And you can bring Nick Cage back, and you've got a movie that's going to make money.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to worry about colors.
No.
Which you already know is he hates them.
Yeah.
And Bender's wrong. I rewatched that Army of Dead. There's colors in that movie.
Yeah, there is.
There's quite a bit of them.
They're not bright and vibrant at times, but there's some color in it. More than a lot
it's
of
his daylight.
Movies. Yeah.
With the exception of his post-apocalypse invasion flashback, there's no daylight even in those movies. So.
Right.
That's big. I mean,
For
him to jump over to Marvel's big.
Yeah.
But I think probably Warner Brothers, like, you can have him.
Yeah. I don't think the MCU would touch them based off what's happened with the DC movies.
That's why this is Sony.
Right.
Yeah, and why can't Sony just figure it out? I mean, sell it.
Yeah.
I guarantee Marvel would buy it.
Oh, yeah.
Disney would buy it. What do you want? $2
billion? Yeah.
No, we got that. Four? It will make it back.
We'll give you 25% of the cut of everything.
Yeah, and that's essentially what they've already done with them and split the profits on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all right, here's $2 billion and you get 25% impropriety, or what's that called? Propriety.
Yeah.
So forever.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer. That alone would keep Sony's doors open through the lean times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's silly. I don't know. I'll say this about Zack Snyder. I don't know what I trust more. Zack Snyder doing sourced material or Zack Snyder doing regular or his original material. Because there's a history of how much shitty, like, for instance, Sucker Punch is bad.
Yeah.
Super bad. Like, awful bad. Mm-hmm. Army of the Dead wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Dawn of the Dead, great.
Yeah.
Not his.
Yep.
But then DC movies, awful, and not his also. So it's hit or miss.
I didn't think Watchmen was that bad.
Watchmen's an enjoyable movie.
Yeah, it is.
Watchmen's an enjoyable movie, and he did what he could out of a movie that would be near impossible to make perfect.
Yeah, and he had to make the changes at the end to get the non-comic book fans to understand it.
Thing, I still think he could have done a squid alien thing, but I think where he lost is that, and I think maybe they should have done a better job viral marketing about the Curse of the Black Pearl and things like that. Wasn't that what Black Pearl or Black? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think. Well,
I could be confusing Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, you might.
Yeah, I think it's Curse of the Something. Black Pearl is from Pirates of the Caribbean, so who knows? But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one last thing I had was apparently Rob Zombie's remaking The Munsters.
Makes sense. Yeah. He owns the car, the original car. He's a massive. I just downloaded his new album a few weeks ago.
Okay.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Is it Thunderkiss 69? No. Is it More Human Than Human or Astro Creep 2000? No. But at this point in his career, is it Rob Zombie music aged a little? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got some bangers in there, as the kids say. There's a couple bangers.
Yeah.
And it's a couple things you like about Rob Zombie. But I like a lot about Rob Zombie. I've seen him in concert. His concerts are goofy as fuck. They're great. Giant robots running around. Like, and when I say giant robots, I mean 20, 30 foot tall robots that he's controlling up at the top of them and things like that. Yeah. And he totally blows Marilyn Manson off the stage when they tour together. Like, Marilyn Manson's also a drug addicted, crazy guy.
Yeah.
Who's got a microphone that's a knife. And when he sings, he like does this with it. Like, it's like, gawk. It's like, oh, I'm not scared of you stabbing me.
Yeah.
You're awful with a knife. But Rob Zombie, cool as can be.
Yeah.
Underrated movie maker, too.
I've never seen his movies because I'm just not into horror movies.
You don't need to.
Yeah.
And I can tell you how good they are. And I tell you the cool thing about him with his movies is I think House of 1000 Corpses is better than a lot of people thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think The Devil's Rejects is a scary movie masterpiece, the first one.
Yeah.
I think Devil's Rejects 2 is an enjoyable film if you like the franchise.
Yeah.
And I can't set... I can't think of the name of it, but he did this his own tribute to the French horror movies, and it was pretty good too. But it's never a movie I would ever recommend to anybody because you got to go like Dario Argento and stuff like you got to take a real deep dive into. And I do because I love pop culture so much, But yeah, I would never recommend them. But on that same vein though, about deep diving into pop culture, you brought it up and. For those that don't know, and I really do feel like we should look it up into going, Kevin Smith, the documentary coming into town. That's a guy that knows his scary movies and stuff like that, too. I mean,
Kevin Smith knows all movies.
Kevin Smith knows everything about everything. It's why he makes movies that don't necessarily get a lot of mainstream praise, but the reason us as geeks and fans of pop culture love it is because he knows how to, in a way that, for like a book like Ready Player One that Dwayne, who's a pop culture fan, thought that was nostalgia porn.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith knows how to access that without it being the porn side of it.
Yeah.
Just an enjoyable ride of pop culture, you know, reminiscing and stuff.
Yeah. We saw the Jay and Silent Bob Groovy movie tour when it came through years ago.
Oh, you were there with my wife who went without me.
Oh, she went without you?
She did because...
And she was giving you crap about going to movies.
I know. I think I was out
for work or something.
Yeah.
And so she went and saw it without me, so I couldn't go see it. But she took the ticket that was meant for me and went with someone else.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did go see Jay and Silent Bob. Or was it, what was it, Mallrats 2 together. We did go, or what was the one? Not Mallrats 2.
Reboot?
Yeah, Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Yeah.
Mallrats 2 we need to see. It's Die Hard in a mall.
Yeah.
That's the whole pitch. Got me?
I don't know when that's coming out. I haven't heard much about it. I thought they filmed it, didn't they?
So here, no, they did not film it. Here's the problem with Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith also has a little bit of ADD, which is amazing that he smokes so much weed and he still has ADD. He wrote Mallrats 2. He writes all these scripts. He starts all these Moose Jaw, all these things, and he gets so sidetracked off of movies. And I just think it's that he got sidetracked on it again.
Yeah.
But I think the one good thing about Mallrats coming back, I think the success and how he marketed and how he made it work with Jay and Silent Bob reboot makes the Mallrats 2 possible because it put him back in touch with Ben Affleck in his life and things like that. And you can't do a Mallrats without, you know, the Casual Male.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I will say this, though. It doesn't bode well that Ben Affleck has been seen canoodling again with... it's J-Lo.
Yeah.
Oh, no, J-Lo's good. It was Jennifer Garner that said that Kevin Smith said he doesn't blame her, but he blames that part of Ben Affleck's life.
Yeah.
Whatever it was about his relationship with her drove a wedge between all of his indie friends.
Yeah. But I think the Ben Affleck part of Reboot was probably the best part of the movie.
Oh, it was better than expected.
Yeah.
There were so many great jokes, and that movie was so specific to Kevin Smith fandom, Skew fandom. But, again, this is something, you know, a callback to an episode that you and I did after we went and saw movies, or we went to movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's mainlining the things I love about Kevin Smith, was what we did. And going and seeing a documentary about Kevin Smith, for those that don't know, he has a really amazing life. Or story. He went to film school and he kind of dropped out because he didn't think he was getting from it, but he did meet some good friend, Scott Mosier, who ended up being his producer for a lot of his movies.
Almost everything.
Yeah, almost everything. And even his own stuff. He's even done his own stuff. But he did work at a convenience store and a movie store, and he did sell a massive comic collection in order to make his own movie, his first movie.
And he maxed out like five credit cards.
Maxed out five credit cards. He borrowed a lot of the equipment. It was all rental and borrow. And he shopped that movie around and failed. And then finally some film critic gave him some advice on the ending. So they redid the ending. They put it in...
Yeah, that original ending was bad.
Yeah, and they put it in Sundance. And he became, for those that don't know, Richard Linklater, who was a great influence on him. And then Kevin Smith, those were the early darlings of Sundance. Those were the success stories that everybody for the next 25 years that went to Sundance was like, well, look what happened to Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do it. And I'm sure the documentary would touch on it. I don't know. I have not even seen anything about it. But then he had a real falling out with Hollywood. He made a couple of, at first it was Jersey Girl, which was a massive flop. But I'll tell you, it's not an awful movie.
No, it's not.
It's not an awful movie.
It got killed in the media because of the whole J-Lo Ben relationship the first time. And then they cut most of her scenes out of the movie.
Yeah, and then he did Cop Out, which was, by all accounts, even the most ardent Kevin Smith fan, a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
He directed someone else's material. He put Bruce Willis in it, who was difficult to work with. He had a Tracy Morgan that was not really right for the role, and it was a bad movie.
Yeah.
Sean William Scott was one of the characters in it, and it just wasn't a great movie. So then when he went back to his own Viewers Universe, which he had closed the book on with the massive successful Dogma.
Yeah.
Even before that, Zach and Miri. He did Zach and Miri.
Dogma came way before those ones.
No, but when he closed the universe. Yeah. So he went back to that universe, the Viewers Universe.
He did Jay and Silent Bob.
It was after Dogma.
Yeah, it was after Dogma, but then he went and did like Red State.
Then he went and did
this
stuff. Yeah, before Red State, he made those other movies.
Yeah.
And then he did what I consider the return to a Kevin Smith style movie in Zach and Miri, which is a great movie.
Yeah.
And it did okay, but the reason it did okay is because it cost so goddamn much to market.
Yeah.
And that's when he fell out of love with Hollywood. And that's like, fuck it, I'll do it myself. And he did Red State, and he did...
He did Yoga Hosers.
Yoga Hosers.
And
And but Yoga Hosers was a spinoff of
Tusk.
Tusk, which is a great little scary movie.
Yeah.
And then Yoga Hosers, and then he was going to do Moose Jaw and all this stuff, and then he got back, and when he did, and Clerks 2, I forget Clerks 2, but that was a big success actually. Yeah. But when he did Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, and the way he took that around the country and marketed it his way and debuted it his way with his Q&A thing.
Yeah.
And then he let the film play for like a week after he left. That he made a lot of money. Well, I don't say a lot of money because we're talking Hollywood dollars and it's Monopoly money. But that was very successful. And that's the way he's going to make movies from here on out.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, which is okay. But I do. And that's what he's doing with his documentary.
It's not even his documentary. He's just touring with it.
Yeah. Which is how you make money with it, Kevin Smith stuff. And I can tell you this. I happen to be of the age to when Clerks came out. I was still, I believe, a junior in high school, so it was very impressionable on me.
Yeah.
But also, you know, he started getting wind with Mallrats, which was a win for me, or he started getting a little momentum behind him.
Yeah.
So by the time that he was really established as a director that people enjoyed and had his nerd cred, I was then going to comic shows and in the business in terms of a comic book store. So I got to see him at Wizard World VIP packages where I got to sit at the table with him for like 15, 20 minutes until someone else had to come. I've been not just close to Kevin Smith, but I've sat as close to you and I, and you and I are about 3 feet apart and had similar conversations with him and Jason Mewes.
Yeah.
And Jason Mewes has been as funny as fuck. Jason Mewes was hilarious to me and picked on people and was just so. Those days are gone.
Yeah.
But I was lucky enough to say that, you know, I can tell you this. It's very easy for celebrity to go to these comic book conventions to put on a great face, and then when they leave their booth, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith is the same guy in front of the camera. He's just behind the camera. He's the same guy at hour one of a convention as he is at hour 13 of a convention.
Yeah.
He's a guy that loves his fans because he truly embraces the genre of movies that he makes, and that's what's so great about him.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you listen to his podcast, he always says, I don't want to make a Marvel movie. I would fuck that up.
Oh, he's scared to death of it. He goes, don't give me that much money.
No. He's like, I'm too much of a fan. I want to sit here and watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Also, this is the same guy that got to walk on the Millennium Falcon and cried.
You know?
I mean, he's a big softie.
Yeah, I would have done that too.
No, and that's great. I mean, that's what's great about him. Now, he smokes a lot of weed, so he cries at some movies that he shouldn't.
Yeah.
And he'll defend movies that I don't like. I don't have to agree with him all the time.
He's got a very good point of view about it. If he doesn't like it, he's not going to talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
And, I kind of the same way. I'm like, why waste the time on something you don't like?
Absolutely. I would be down to go see that. I haven't even looked. I don't even know at this point. I know tickets went on sale. They might have sold out.
Yeah.
I haven't even mentioned it to Missy, but I do think it's a good birthday week. So.
Yeah.
What else you got?
I think that's all I got.
I do know. I mean, we went an hour pretty quick. Pretty easy, too.
Yeah.
Let's throw it to Missy. It is Father's Day coming up this weekend. Do you anticipate a good windfall for the Jay Tierney at his house for Father's Day?
I have no clue.
Me neither.
One of my children won't even be there. So
which one?
Kaylee. She's at Truman State University for 3 weeks.
What for?
She got invited to do it's almost like a camp there. It's called the Joseph Baldwin Academy.
Okay.
They have to get nominated by their school.
I can only assume this is for a smart kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she got nominated by a teacher at her school, applied.
Awesome for her. She's unique. Daughter's unique. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I don't know your son as well as I know your daughter's, because one sticks out that she shouldn't be the oldest by the way she looks.
Yeah.
And I know how artistic she is, which is, you know, strikes a chord with me, and the other because I coach her.
Yeah.
And I know that she's unique in her way, too. So you have a very diverse group of kids.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Will is just a miniature me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he'll grow out of it.
No, probably not.
No,
not if he's like me.
Yeah, that's right. Which is awesome. It's good for you too.
Yeah. So she's doing a sign language course.
Oh, that's cool.
So she's there.
Is that something that piqued her curiosity?
No, she just wanted to do that was like the lowest thing on her list of what she wanted to do. But they had an opening, and she said she wanted to do it.
And she's going to be coming back and talking all kinds of shit on you, and you're not going to know what to do.
I'm like, can you tell me the bad words?
And
she's like, they don't teach us that.
We could start sending it to kids on base paths and stuff like that in our softball team. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So I get to do – so when does she leave?
She's already left. She's been gone for about a week and a half.
Oh, so you got about another week and a half. So.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. And then Madeline, for those that know that we do coach, I coach and you help me coach Madeline softball. She's been at a Mizzou camp yesterday and today.
She left today and tomorrow,
which is super cool for her. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, good for them doing the stuff they like. I mean, it's good for you guys for doing that with them. I mean,
yeah.
What, so if you don't mind, is the Truman, is that expensive?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's all you had to say.
Yeah. but it's a good opportunity for her, and she can put it on her...
She's how old now?
She's 13.
Yeah, and she'll remember things from 13 for the rest of her life.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an experience that's awesome.
Yeah, when she applies for college, I can go on her resume.
Yeah, yeah, which is a real thing. She's getting 13. I mean, I have a junior next year.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. So for me, Father's Day, I actually thankfully for travel scheduling this trip, I get my Father's Day on Friday, which is awesome. So I get my present because they're not one. I absolutely refuse to wait a week to open my gifts.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many gifts I get or if I'm getting any, but I assume they're giving me at least a card.
Yeah,
and I refuse to wait a week to open a card. And if they do give me a gift, I bet they didn't want to pack it.
Yeah.
So I get my thing Friday, which is awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah, my wife usually does like a big gift that'll encompass Father's Day.
Well, I told Missy she could also take it easy on a Father's Day gift because I bought myself a really expensive bicycle.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, and for those that do, which I don't know why you would, but if you do follow me riding, I have not. So my back, something's going on with my back. I got a doctor's appointment Friday. It's been killing me. It's on third baseline. It kills me.
Yeah.
It's been hurting me. You'll see me get down on my knees. And you think, oh, he's really into it. No, I'm about to cry.
Yeah.
So I'm going to the doctor for that. And I don't like taking medicines of any kind, but I do hope they give me muscle relaxers for the flight.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't cramp up and hurt myself.
Back injuries is the worst.
Yeah.
I leave the gym sometimes and just the 10-minute drive home, like I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, I'm like, I got to get out of this car.
But so I will return to riding my bike. Actually, I'm going to go riding tomorrow. And honestly, riding the bike doesn't hurt my back. Running would kill me. Running would bring tears to my eyes right now. But and what it is, it's standing on a hard surface for about 10 seconds, does it? If I play sand volleyball, it doesn't hurt me.
Yeah.
If I stand in dress shoes or bare feet, which I have to wear dress shoes a lot for work,
yeah,
like today just murders me. I have to keep moving. People are like, you can sit down if you want. I go, well, I can't. I mean, at this point, I'm committed. But, yeah, so I get my Father's Day Friday. Like I've mentioned this before. We fly out on Saturday. We'll be back on a Friday. So we'll probably – I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're just going to end up missing. I know I mentioned to you that I wanted to record two episodes and we'd save one, but I think we're just going to skip a week.
Okay.
And then we'll just do the Monday when we get back. After I get back, we'll just go back to our normal schedule then, which is fine.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll have good stories. And I'm certainly not going to bring any beer because we're flying.
Yeah.
Back, but I did tell Missy I was going to wait till I get back from California before I did another round of ordering from West Coast.
Okay.
So we have that to look forward to.
All right.
And yeah, man, I don't know. I think the only other thing that I got in the throw to Missy segment to bring up, and I'll get to your stuff in a second, is you and I talked about it. We were so excited when we got it, which has been months ago now, it seems, but I finally cracked open the first of those narrow gauge drinks.
Yeah.
The orange label, and the orange one was fucking phenomenal. It was I think I texted you.
Yeah.
And it was the peanut butter stout aged in maple, vanilla, and barrels that previously held cinnamon and bourbon.
Oh, wow.
But the maple, and I knew I think I would like it the best. The cinnamon has me a little worried.
Yeah.
Because when Abraxas doesn't do it for me, it's because it has too much cinnamon in it.
Yeah.
But, man, it's so goddamn good that I actually feel guilty that I did not let you have any of it. It was so good. I just cracked one. I was like, I'm going to have it.
Yeah. Oh, God, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So I might try to go to Narrow Gauge this weekend, actually.
Yeah, well, I wish I was here to go with you, but yeah. I'm glad I'm going to be drinking out there.
Yeah.
So
you'll have options out there.
Anything else you got to bring up?
No, I got nothing else.
I think we might as well call it an episode. Absolutely no one's here to be with us because two of them would rather be out of the state and the other one hates us, but you can tell everybody.
Bye.
And we will play the...